and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you're tuning in to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 15, verse number 16. Jesus has been brought by the Jews after the mock trial in the middle of the night into the morning. He's been brought into Pilate by the leadership of the Jews. Barabbas, they've called for his release, being a murderer and insurrectionist. Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten, the only born in the flesh, Son to God, is delivered and retained by Pilate, the governor of Judea, to be crucified. The guilty has been released, and the innocent is going to be crucified. The people have been moved by the leadership of the Jews to say, Pilate asks, what should I do with him? You want me to release Barabbas? That's the desire of the people. And it seems like that's the way that it works. It's a political fair where the priests move to have the people ask for a certain person. And so Barabbas is going to be released and Jesus kept. And so Pilate asks, so what should I do to him? And he says, they say, crucify him, crucify him. So everything that our Lord has prophesied would come to pass indeed is coming to pass. We pick it up in verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into a hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And so Jesus is taken, and again, as I mentioned last time, the Gospel of Mark does not go into a great detail about all the things that were done to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't speak so much about him being sent over to Herod, who had wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time, and the friendship between Herod and Pilate. They had been at enmity. They had some hatred between one another, but that day they were made friends because of Pilate sending Jesus over to Herod and that. And so in this account, we don't have much about that. We kind of fast forward to the guard there that is answers to Pilate. They take the Lord Jesus Christ into this hall, and they begin to mock him. What is coming to the ears of Pilate is that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Now, what has happened is he's misunderstood what they say. And, of course, Pilate no doubt holds the Jews in disdain. He abhors his appointment there in Jerusalem. We understand historically he's just had a bad time. It's been a bad time in his career, and what is going on at Jerusalem has just been bad for him. And so he doesn't care for the Jews at all, and nor do the soldiers. And so The Jews have said that he called himself the king, and then Pilate has picked up on that, referring to him as the King of the Jews. But the thing is in man's ignorance, he stated the truth. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of all. He's your king. If you're listening to my voice in this broadcast, the Lord Jesus Christ is your king. You may not claim salvation. You may not claim to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't negate the fact that he is your king, because he's the King of all. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Pilate, in his ignorance, or even in his disdain for the Jews, and wanting to rub them the wrong way, the leadership, he saw obviously that they delivered Jesus because they were jealous of him. The same spills out into his men, and they begin to mock the Lord. They clothe him with purple. After all, he's a king. They make him a crown, but it's of thorns. After all, he is a king, and they put it on his head. They mock. the King of Glory. What a wonder it is that Jesus would even endure such a thing. He is the King of Glory, the righteous Son of God, the perfect, the sinless man, the only sinless man ever to have lived. And he endures this. But again, as Isaiah says, he did it not for himself, but for us, for sinners. And so they mock him, and they put this crown on his head, verse number 18, and begin to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They bow the knee to him, it tells us in other Gospels, and they put a reed in his hand. And they smote him, verse 19, on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And so they bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ. They mock him as a king. They have fun. They have fun with the only begotten Son of God. It's a shame. It's a terrible, wicked shame that these things were done to the Lord. You know, yet, it was done by us. If I would have been there, I'd have done the same thing. You may say that you would have done something different. No, we would have done the same thing. We would have done the same thing. You know, this is what I deserved. I deserve to be mocked. I deserve to be ridiculed. I deserve to be spit upon and treated shamefully. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ did that for me. He did that he might save my soul. And if you're saved, you understand the same thing. He did that for you. So they smote him, verse number 19, with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him in a mocking way. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. It says in verse number 21, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. This is something that I want to make mention of. It's because of movies and Hollywood, what Hollywood has done. It's got into our minds to think that the Lord Jesus Christ could not, he was so weak that he could not carry his cross, that he fell down carrying his cross, and because of that, Simon of Cyrene was recruited by the Roman soldiers to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not so. You won't find it in the scripture. Yes, Simon was recruited and by the Roman soldiers to carry the Lord Jesus Christ's cross, but it wasn't because he couldn't bear it. Our Lord Jesus Christ was strong unto the end. He never failed in one way. He never was marginal in completing fulfilling his gospel. He did pour out his soul unto death, but and shed all of his blood and his body bruised and beaten, not a bone broken, which is a miracle. But he did not fall under the weight of the cross. You won't find that in the scriptures. Our Lord came to do and fulfill what he came to do and fulfill, and he did so. He did so. He kept his body alive even when you and I, or any the strongest man that has ever lived, would not be able to bear under the torture that the Lord Jesus Christ was under and the suffering on the cross. He bore it. He did so. And so this about Simon, I believe, is a testimony of how the Romans continue to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should he carry his own cross? After all, he's a king. Why should he labor under this instrument, his own instrument, or the instrument appointed unto him unto death? He's a king. Have a man carry it for him. A king should be honored in that way. In verse number 21, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull, verse number 22. The site of the crucifixion, otherwise we know it as Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary, outside there of Jerusalem. If my memory serves me correctly, it's to the north. It's to the north of the city, outside of the gate where the Lamb of God would be slain, where the Lamb of God would be offered and sacrificed. He would bear his reproach and his shame, actually my reproach and my shame, without the gate, and he would be crucified there. Golgotha. It's thought that this is referring to the shape of the mount or the hill there of Calvary, that it looks like a skull, a place of a skull. But I believe what we find here is that, understand, the Romans had been executing Jews and others that had been looking to thwart their rule there in Palestine and Judea and Samaria and Galilee. And they were brutal. They were brutal in their exercising of judgment and control and power. They indeed ruled with an iron fist. And so they were often crucifying people. And the Romans didn't care about burying the citizenry of Judea. They didn't care about that. What they cared about was control. And so if someone didn't have any family that would come and claim their body, as it was with the Lord Jesus Christ, then they would just take their bodies and pitch them in the ditch there at Calvary. And it was a terrible sight. Dead bodies and carcasses. No doubt the stench was just horrific. And the flies and the maggots and the animals. And I'm not wanting to wax gross, but I'm wanting us to understand about this place. It was the execution place for the Romans. It was the place of execution for the Romans. And they had been executing a lot. Buzzards would come and feed on the bodies not buried, and the result of that would be there would be a piles of bones and skulls. And so I believe that this is the reference that's here, the place of a skull. It's the place of execution by the Romans. And our Lord Jesus is taken there. The last one that should have ever been taken there. The last one that should have ever been taken to that place is the one that willingly goes. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, you want to be great in the kingdom? Be the minister of all. You want to be chief? Be servant of all. That's the economy of our Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he says there in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, look at my example. I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And that's an example unto us. We should not be looking to be takers, but we should look to be givers. Givers of the gospel, givers of the word of God, and givers of fellowship and help and a ministering of the truth of God's word unto sinners. And so Jesus is at the place of execution. I see their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his good word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.